The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, anyone who recites 1,000 times durood upon me, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The viewers of Madni channel, Hazrat Imam Abu Muhammad Yahya bin Yahya rahmatullahi ta'ala is one of the very famous ulamas and scholars from amongst the pious predecessors of this ummah. He was student of Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala. It is said that he came from Andalusia, recent Spain, for learning to Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala. One day he was sitting in the study circle of Imam Malik, and Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala was teaching. All of a sudden, a noise was heard. Everyone was shouting and saying, elephant, elephant, elephant. Because elephant was very new to that country, all the students except Imam Yahya bin Yahya, they stood up and went to see that elephant. Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala asked Imam Yahya bin Yahya that other people, they have gone and you are sitting here and busy in learning the knowledge. Why don't you go as well? Because in your country, Andalusia, elephants are not found as well. Imam Yahya bin Yahya rahmatullahi ta'ala gave a beautiful answer. He said, Ustad Saab, I came from Andalusia to see you and to learn something from you. I didn't came here to see elephant. The viewers of Madni channel, this beautiful story shows us the enthusiasm of our pious predecessors regarding learning the sacred knowledge of Islam. They were very eager for learning, and they would spend a very big portion of their life in learning. And after learning, they would remain busy throughout the remaining life in teaching that knowledge to others. What is the excellence of learning ilm-e-deen, and what are the benefits of learning deen? Let me present in your court few ahadith from the blessed treasure of the ahadith of our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Once our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Sahaba, and Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, O my Sahaba, whenever you pass through the gardens of paradise, you must pick fruits from them. Sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the gardens of paradise? Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, the circles of learning, meaning indeed those circles and sittings in which you sit and learn are the gardens of paradise. Reviewers of Madni channel, there is another beautiful hadith which says, afdalul ibadati talabul ilmi, the best worship is learning the sacred knowledge of Islam. Then there is another hadith which says that the best charity for a Muslim is to learn the sacred knowledge of Islam and then to teach it to others. There is another beautiful hadith in which our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala sallam was heard saying that he who travels in order to learn the knowledge of Deen, he is inhabitant of Jannah. He is one of those people who are in Jannah. The viewers of Madri channel, knowledge is power, and that power elevates a person to the height that he becomes beloved of Allah. The viewers of Madri channel, knowledge is a lamp which removes the darkness of ignorance and makes a person true friend of Allah. So we all must make intention that inshallah azza wa jal, from today onward we will try to learn the knowledge, and that learning is through different sources, and one of them is books. When you are reading books, and those books which give us beneficial knowledge, indeed those books construct our character and make us true practicing Muslims. In today's silsa, inshallah azza wa jal, we will be asking Mufti Muhammad Qasim Attari, Damat Barakatumul Aliya, our questions regarding books, what books should be read and what should not be read, and books of which scholars should be read and books of which scholars should be avoided. So let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him the first question of today. Mufti, I mean, we discussed that we should read books. Then there are some specific books which we should read. You also advised us. So, I mean, are there some other precautions, some other points which we must keep in our mind when we are reading some books?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are many things which should be taken care of regarding those, because mostly books have not been written for common people, though writers have written this book is for common people, for average people, but mostly as I have observed, most of the books are not for common people, or I would say the intellectual level of scholars and the intellectual level of common people, there is a gap between those. So those scholars consider they are writing for public, but public is very far from that understanding. So that's why mostly they are unable to understand books of scholars. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, the books are being written for particularly public and for common people as the books of Amir al-Sunnat, and he tries to simplify the books to the extent what he can do, so he does that. But as if we look at the book of Bahari Shariat, so in the beginning of Bahari Shariat, Sadr Sharia, Maulana Jadir Admi Rahmatullah Alayh, so he wrote that I am writing this book for common people, for public, so that they can learn Islamic rulings regarding every aspect of life. But if we read that book, we come to know, not to speak of public, even scholars sometimes are unable to understand the rulings of Bahari Shariat. So that is the distance of intellectual level of Sadr Sharia and public. And similarly, that is the story of other books. Mostly those are in that kind. So those people who read books, I would say, first of all, they must be in touch with the scholars. Because when people read books by themselves and they don't consult with scholars, so they might understand some masail in wrong way. That's why it is very important to be in touch with the scholars, so that they can rectify their mistakes and they can correct their mistakes. The first thing. The second thing is this, that though nowadays there are many simple books are available as well, as for example, as we have mentioned the name of Tafsir Siratul Jinnah, that is in a very easy way, but because that is the book of Tafsir, and Tafsir is the explanation of the Holy Quran, and that is not easy book, that is not easy thing, though the book is very easy, but there are many matters which are very complicated, which are many difficult to understand. So that's why when someone reads even Tafsir Siratul Jinnan or any other easy book, so there he might find many issues which would be difficult for him to understand. So particularly he should highlight those matters, and then he should take time from any scholar, and then he must consult regarding those matters to those scholars, so that he can avoid mistakes and wrongs in his reading, in his learning. That is very important. The second thing is this, that when a person learns some knowledge and he reads books, So mostly he thinks that I have become scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And when he considers that I have become scholar, then he starts teaching masail to other people. Though in some situations, it would be allowed for that person to teach other people, to tell other people Sharia rulings. But there are some certain aspects of Islamic knowledge which are very complicated and which are very sensitive as the matters of beliefs, and as a matter of divorce and marriage, as a matter of inheritance. So if someone without the consultancy of scholars, if he starts speaking regarding the matters of belief and divorce and marriage and inheritance, he must make mistake in many places, because these are very complicated issues and these are very complicated rulings of Sharia. I have observed myself in the field of iftah that even those Islamic brothers, mashallah, who have become educated in Islamic knowledge and who have become scholars, but when they are beginner in our Darul Iftah field, though they have learned a lot, they have completed their Dastur-e-Nami and they have read a lot of books as well, and though they have done their specialization in the field of fiqh as well, even in spite of that, when they come to our field of telling masail to other people, in beginning they make many mistakes in that. They make many mistakes in the matter of beliefs and divorce and inheritance. Why? Because it needs some experience and it needs some training from prominent and competent scholars. So when that is the condition of those people who are scholar, who have become scholar, so what would be about other people and common people who haven't learned Islamic knowledge punctually and regularly after going to madrasa? No. So when these kind of people learn knowledge through reading books and then they start teaching masail to other people, they make many mistakes. That's why I have observed people come to our Darul Iftah and they start questioning masail. When we tell them some masail, so they say, Mufti sahab, we have asked these issues from that person, and mashallah, he's a knowledgeable person, and mashallah, he has the habit of studying a books a lot. So he has told us that masala in another way, but you are telling us in another way. What is that? So that time we come to know where is problem. The problem is in their understanding. Because sometimes what happens, there are some Sharia rules and there are some Sharia detailed issues. So when you have to implement one rule on one situation, so a person can make mistake in that. Because ruling is right, but implementation of that rule over a situation, the mistake is there. So that's why those people who are not experienced in that way, and they didn't learn issuing fatawa, issuing verdicts in the company of prominent and competent scholars, so when they go to that field, they make mistakes. So that is very important precaution, which is very important for these people who read books. They must not tell other people Sharia issues, particularly which are very complicated. The mas'ala, the issue, what they know very clearly, they can teach other people as regarding offering prayer and regarding fastings only. Otherwise, the matters of Hajj, for example, are the matters of Zakat. Those are not easy. Even that person who has read a lot of books regarding Hajj, he can't tell other people masail of Hajj, because there are many issues, there are many rulings which accumulate in one place, and then Mufti and prominent scholar, he knows how to implement that rule in that way and this rule in that on that situation. So that's why the issues of Hajj and similarly the issues of Zakat as well. I know those people, I know my own Islamic brother, mashallah, who were scholars, and mashallah, they were good scholars. But when they tell Zakat issues to common people, they make many mistakes in that. Because Zakat is also that issue in which there are many rules, there are many complications, and there are many rules work. So when many rules work in one place, so now differentiate between rules and differentiate between situations, and implementation of rules over situation is very difficult. So that's why those people who learn themselves and they are not trained by prominent scholars and muftis, so they must not tell masail to other people. They should learn, they should act upon, and if any issue is asked to those people, so they should refer that person to any scholar.
Mr. During your answer, you said that some people, they read books, and after reading books, they consider themselves as scholars. So I want to ask you, what is the complete process of becoming a scholar, meaning how much duration and how a common person becomes a scholar? Because some people, they say just by learning or just by listening to some bayanat, someone can become alim. So what is the right way of alim, so that Madin channel viewers can come to know that to become alim is not an easy thing. It takes lot of hard work, lot of labor, then care of his teacher and whatever you want to say regarding.
Basically, there are many levels of scholars. The lowest level of scholar is, I would say, that is not very difficult nor very easy. Okay, that level can be acquired. But there are some levels which are above, at the lowest level, as a specialist in some particular field. So his rank would be very high, and the demands of that rank would be different. So the lowest rank of a scholar is this, that a person has the knowledge of all the beliefs of Islam. Okay, he knows what is our belief in that regard. What is our belief regarding Allah Azza wa Jal, regarding prophets, regarding books, regarding hell, regarding paradise, regarding fate and destiny. So he knows all Islamic beliefs. That is the first condition. The second condition is this, that person must have the knowledge of those issues which are very common and which can occur to every person, as offering prayer, as paying zakah, as observing fast, as the matters of spiritual matters, spiritual diseases, regarding spirituality and regarding sincerity and showing off and all these matters. So he must have the knowledge of all these things, because these are the, some matters are farz and some are haram. As showing off is haram and sincerity is farz. So the person can't become scholar if he doesn't know the meaning of sincerity and the meaning of showing off. Because learning regarding these two things is first. And these are not only two things. There are many things. Good qualities and many things would be regarding bad qualities and spiritual diseases. So he must have the knowledge of all these things. And that's the second condition. Means the having the knowledge of those issues which are common, which can occur to every person, or which are the needs of every person. That is the second thing. The third thing is this, that person has capability, that person has capability to learn any issue other than those common issues. If any new issue occurs to him, so he can learn, he can find the answer of that question from books. That is the definition of that scholar, which is the lowest level of scholar. But this person, I think this person is enough for his own self, or for a few other people, or for some other issues. So very common issues he can tell other people. But above that, there are many ranks. For example, that person who is muhaddis. So for muhaddis is a person who is specialist in the field of hadith. Mufassir is that person who is specialist in the field of tafsir. Mufti is that person who is specialist in the field of fiqh and in the field of many other departments as well. Because nowadays Mufti is not the Mufti of fiqh. Nowadays Mufti is considered the person who has the knowledge of aqaid, beliefs and tafsir and hadith and fiqh and tasawwuf. Because nowadays Mufti is asked questions regarding every type of issue. The people ask him the explanation of any hadith, explanation of any ayah of the Holy Quran. They ask him regarding showing of sincerity and these kind of matters which are spiritual things. So that's why the rank of Mufti is very high. So those people who are specialists in some fields, their rank is something else. Then there is another, I would say there is another rank which is between these two. The highest level and the lowest level. That is becoming a perfect scholar. which is not expert and specialist in particular field, and which is not at the lowest level of scholar. Who is that? These are those people who didn't do any specialization in any field, but they learn Islamic knowledge regularly in through going to madrasa, through going to scholars, and they became particular scholars, and then they developed their habit of studying Islamic books, and they remain in that habit, and they are habitual of reading. So these kind of people, so sometimes they are not specialists, and they are not specialists in any particular field, but they are not at the lowest level of scholar. They are in between these two. So most of the time when we use the word scholar, that person is scholar, that person is not scholar, so we mean this person by that. But when we say what is the definition of scholar, so we would say the first thing what I have mentioned, that would be the definition of scholar. So for becoming the first kind of scholar, I would say reading might be enough. Reading might be sufficient for them. If one person reads those books which are available nowadays in every language, even in English, hundreds of books are available. In Urdu, thousands of books are available. If someone reads these books, so he can become a scholar, but he would be scholar at the lowest rank. But if he reads a lot, and he remains in communication with the scholars, and he keeps on learning from prominent scholars, he goes to them, he asks questions from them, so then he can become the scholar of second rank as well. But becoming the third kind of scholar, at the highest level, that is mufti, that is mufassir, specialist person. So for that, so I would say a person has to spend his whole life in learning knowledge, in making research, in reading books, in studying, in communication with other people, and he has to consult with prominent scholars in that particular field. So after that, he can become that kind of scholar, but that is very high level, and that is very difficult. As we can understand very easily, that is the most difficult part of becoming a scholar. But the second part, that needs many years as well, because that the second kind of scholar is not very easy. That takes a lot of years, minimum five years, I would say. If a person is very intelligent and he spends his whole time, his 5 years, he doesn't do any other thing, and he spends 5 years of his life only in learning Islamic knowledge, he is intelligent, his memory is very sound, and then he learns that from a particular prominent scholar, so then he can become that kind of scholar. But for becoming the first kind of scholar, so it depends upon the needs of that person, and it depends upon the intelligence of that person. If his memory, mashallah, is good, and his intelligence is good, so then if he is interested in becoming scholar, and he remains in touch with the scholar, and he keeps on studying books, so then I think I would say that might be within 2 years he can become that kind of scholar.
Mr. Sahab, you made mention of scholar, and then you explained it as well. Then you told us about Muhaddis and Mufassir, then Mufti as well. So, you know, in this age, some people, you know, I would say, let me say that Muftis are popping up. Someone who has read some book, he just, you know, after reading that book, he becomes Mufti, starts selling the masala.
As under every brick.
So now my question is that please tell the viewers of Madani Channel that what is the process of Mufti, because in my according to my information, after becoming scholar, for becoming Mufti, one has to go sit in the company of a prominent scholar, then he teaches him, then he tells him, transfers his experience to him, then sometimes he puts him in a situation where only he has to answer, then he makes mistake and his teacher corrects him. So in this way, after this whole process of learning and this process of rectification, only then he is able to become Mufti. And after that, I mean, his teacher also gives him permission as well. So is it true that this is the process of becoming Mufti? It is not easy to become Mufti.
Mufti is one of the highest rank of scholar. Okay. And in our age, in this age, that a Mufti has a lot of other responsibilities as well. As I have told you, in previous ages, in past ages, for the field of fiqh, there was mufti. For the field of tafsir, there was mufassir. For the field of hadith, there was muhaddis. For the field of beliefs, there was mutakallim. For the field of tasawwuf, there was sufi akram. But nowadays, as I have told you, now mufti is whole in soul. He is whole in soul in every field. He must have the knowledge of tafsir and hadith and fiqh and tasawwuf and all the other Islamic issues. So that's why nowadays the responsibility of mufti has been elevated and increased. Okay, that's why. So I would say for becoming mufti, for example, if in this age a person wanna become mufti, the first condition for that person is to learn Islamic knowledges regularly, Islamic sciences regularly. Regularly means either he goes to any madrasa and jamia for learning knowledge and he goes there punctually and regularly, or he joins any scholar on regular basis, not after 1 month, after 2 months he goes there and learns something. So he must join any scholar on regular basis and he learns from that scholar. After completing his basic studies, which is basic in Islamic sciences, after that he must be interested in the field of fiqh, because mufti is that person who is expert and specialist in the field of fiqh. So that's why he must be interested in the field of fiqh. Then he must have read a lot of books of fiqh, whether those books are regarding the rules of fiqh or the juz'iyat of fiqh, the detailed rulings of fiqh. He must have read most of those rulings and issues. Then he must have the company of prominent mufti. Without sitting in the company of mufti and without taking corrections from that mufti, it is impossible to become mufti. Because in the field of fiqh, in the field of ifta, a person has to implement rules over situations. And most of the time, people make mistake in that. Sometimes they consider, no, we can't mistake, but it happens. Very prominent scholar, very prominent people, so they make mistake in the implementation of rules over situations. So when this person will sit in the company of prominent mufti and then he will make some mistakes, so then his guide mufti will correct his mistakes and tells him the rulings and the way of implementation. And when this person will spend at least 8 to 10 years in the company of that scholar, then that guide scholar, that guide mufti will show his confidence in this disciple, in this student. So then this person can be considered as mufti, and then he would become a confident mufti, and he can issue his own verdicts and fatwas. Other than that, if any ring of this procedure is missing in the life of any scholar, he can't become mufti, and he must make mistakes in his issuing fatwas and verdicts. I would tell you the story of Imam Ahle Sunnah, Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the most intelligent personality in his time. When he was in his boyhood age, but even that time, he was very intelligent. He has learned a lot of Islamic sciences and he has read a lot of books as well. But in spite of that, he sat in the company of his father, who was a prominent mufti in the whole subcontinent. So Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sat in the company of his father, prominent mufti, for 9 years. So if such intelligent and prominent and learning and skillful person needs to sit in the company of a prominent mufti, so what about others? Other people needs more time and more learning and more education in the company of these scholars. Though Allah radiallahu ta'ala, we know Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu issued the first fatwa when he was 13 and three months, more than that. So that time Allah radiallahu ta'ala issued first of his fatwa. In spite of that, he needed to sit in the company of his father and he needed to get corrections and rectifications from his father. And sometime in one place, Ala radiallahu ta'ala anhu has written himself that once I wrote one fatwa and I collected a lot of references and quotations from many books, but when I showed that fatwa, I presented that fatwa in the court of my father, so he said only one word, and that one word negated the whole fatwa of mine. That cancelled the whole fatwa of mine, because there might be a mistake in the understanding of that question. And it happens. I have my own observation and I have my own experience with my own students and with some other Islam brothers. Sometimes they write fatwa, they collect many references and quotations from many fiqh books, from other things, and apparently that fatwa looks very beautiful and very, mashallah, full of knowledge. But when we read the question of that fatwa, and with the first line of the answer we read, we come to know he has made mistake in that. Because of the lack of understanding in question, he makes that kind of mistake. So when we tell that Islam brother, you have made that mistake in this fatwa, and he easily understands, really, I have made mistake. So then we preserve that research for other fatwas, because that can be useful for other fatwas, but this fatwa is wrong. This fatwa is wrong, so then he writes other fatwa. So as we have also observed that, and I think that is the observation and that is the experience of every mufti. Even sometimes many prominent scholars, they write some fatwas, but they make mistakes in those. As at the time of Allah radiallahu ta'ala, many ulama, they have written many fatwas, but when those fatwas were presented in the court of Allah radiallahu ta'ala, Allah radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that there are some mistakes in those fatwas, and basically these fatwas are wrong, then Allah radiallahu ta'ala anhu issued his own fatwa. And it is happening nowadays as well. It happens nowadays as well. Many fatwas are written by many scholars, but when those fatwas go to other scholars, and those scholars have research, and they are more prominent, they are more competent in writing fatwas, so when they read those fatwas, so they mention the mistakes, they highlight the mistakes of those fatwas, so it happens. So that's why for becoming mufti, it is very important to sit in the company of prominent mufti, and that mufti will correct and rectify the mistakes of this person, and he will remove mistakes from the fatwas of this person. Otherwise, this person will keep on making mistakes in his fatwas.
Subhanallah. What a wonderful answer from Mufti Sahib. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, I think now you have come to know that what is the complete process of becoming a scholar and then becoming a mufti. It is really a painstaking job, but those who are able to pass this test of becoming alim and becoming mufti, really the status and the rank they are going to enjoy in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal in hereafter, you and me, we can't imagine. So dear viewers of Madni Channel, I request all of you that if it is possible, at least one of your children, please, at least one of your children must make them scholar and mufti, and inshallah, that child will become a means of forgiveness for you in hereafter.
In every city, it is compulsory to have one mufti. One mufti must be in one city so that he can tell Islamic rulings to people, to Muslims. Because if there is no mufti in any city, so what will do the people of that city? They will make mistakes, they will go against the rulings of Sharia in their business, in their worships, in their other matters, and they won't be able to learn from any person. So that's why it is compulsory, it is fard-e kifaya. It is a collective duty of the inhabitant of a city to prepare any mufti in their area so that he can tell them Islamic rulings. But I think from this ruling, most of the people are neglectful, because as we observe, even in Islamic countries, there are many cities, there is no mufti there. There is no person who can tell them their Sharia issues and who can solve their religious problems. So there is no one in many cities, even in Pakistan, in other countries, there is no one who can tell them these issues. So what about those countries which are not Islamic countries? So in those countries, so that's why the people have developed their own habits. They follow Sharia according to their own will and according to their own understanding. As you have observed in South Africa, even in the whole South Africa, I think there would be a few muftis. But the South Africa is a very big country, and Muslims are in abundance there. They are in big number, but in spite of that, what is the condition of that country and what is the condition of other countries? In many countries, sometimes in the whole country, there is no one mufti who can tell them Islamic issues. So that's why it is very important. It is the responsibility of all the Muslims to prepare at least one mufti in their city so that they can learn Islamic issue from that person. Otherwise, what happens? People, for example, migrate from one Islamic country to other country. When they go there, because they are Muslim, they have to offer pay. Because they are Muslim, they have to observe fastings. Because they are Muslim, they have to pay zakah. But because there is no mufti, there is no scholar there, so they don't learn from any person. So now they start offering prayer on their own, or according to their own will. Whatever comes into their mind, they act upon that. And sometimes they offer prayer for 40 years, but their prayer is not according to the rulings of Sharia, Allah, and their prayers are not valid in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal as well, because Allah Azza wa Jal didn't only command us to offer prayer. He has ordered us to learn the commandments of prayer as well. He didn't command us to pay zakah in the path of Allah. He has ordered us to learn the rulings of paying zakat as well. Otherwise, the people will keep on worshipping, but because of their ignorance and because of their distance from Islamic learning and knowledge, so they will make mistake, and their worships, their prayer, their fasting, their hajj would be invalid in the court of Allah.
Mustafa, very wonderful persuasion that we should make our children scholars and muftis, because it is need of the time, and especially every city needs a scholar, a mufti. Acha, now I want you to please give some excellences of becoming scholar for a scholar and then for his parents as well.
The status of scholar is very high in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned regarding scholars, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal has elevated the ranks of those people who are believers and those people who have been given knowledge. So mean the people of knowledge, scholars. Allah Azza wa Jal has elevated their ranks in His court. So Allah Azza wa Jal has elevated their ranks in His court. So what after that? When Allah Azza wa Jal has granted them His closeness, that is the highest excellence. And that is the best excellence what a person can achieve and what a person can desire for. And there are many other ahadiths, as in one hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Al-ulama'u warasatul anbiya. Scholars, they are the inherit of prophets. Mean they get inheritance of knowledge from prophets. Because prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, they don't leave wealth, worldly wealth behind that. They leave behind only knowledge, what these ulama acquire. So they learn and they acquire that virasat of Anbiya Ikram alayhim salatu wasalam, and that is their excellence. And there are many other ahadith as well, as I have mentioned one hadith, فَقِيهُ وَاحِدٌ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِي عَبِدٍ. One scholar is harder for shaitan than 1,000 abid worshippers. Mean for shaitan, one scholar is very hard. Why? Because abid is busy, the worshipper is busy only in his own worshippings. So he doesn't harm shaitan too much. Though he is worshipping, so he is harming shaitan as well. But the scholar, he is worshipping himself, and he is teaching other people to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as well. So he might guide hundreds of people. He might guide many hundreds of people. So in that way, he is harder for shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. So that is the excellence of one scholar. And those people who, mashallah, who educate their children in Islamic teachings, so what is excellence for them? Whatever what if their children becomes scholars? So whatever knowledge their children will spread among people, those parents will get the reward of that spreading knowledge as well, because they were the reasons of spreading that knowledge. They educate their children Islamic teachings. So now whatever teaching these scholars will do, and they will spread and they will teach to common people, their parents will get that reward. So might be it can happen, a parent educates their child, and that child becomes the scholar of the world. He becomes very prominent scholar in the world. So and he can mashallah prepare many other scholars as well, as one scholar prepare many other scholars. So the time, the more scholars will get educated, and they will spread Islamic knowledge, and they will guide other people, and they will mashallah spreading Islamic message and Islamic knowledge. Those parents will get the reward of all these scholars as well. No matter they have gone into their graves, but even after that, they will get the reward of those scholars.
Acha Mufsab, I mean, coming to the very important question, people after persuasion, listening the persuasion of reading knowledge, they start reading books. But they are also, you know, heard complaining that once we pick up book, you know, we get tired of reading books. So we don't concentrate for a long time, so we get tired of reading books. So what is the cure for this tiredness?
Yeah, that is another problem with our people, because they are not very keen for reading Islamic books. So I think the first thing, they should make prayer for that. They should pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to get the zeal for learning Islamic knowledge, for reading books. So the prayer is the weapon of a Muslim. Through that he can earn a lot, and he can learn a lot, and he can acquire a lot. So that the first thing is, he should pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to get enthusiasm and zeal for learning and reading. The second thing is this, that he should read the excellences of learning knowledge, because that is a natural thing. When we read the excellences of something and the benefits and the advantages of something, so we get fond of acquiring that. So when we read the excellences of learning knowledge, so we will get that zeal and enthusiasm. And it happens with many people. And it happened with many people. As in the environment of Dawat Islami, we have heard about many people only after reading, after listening to one excellences of learning knowledge, they left their other activities and they took admission in Jamiatul Madina, and they started learning, and mashallah they have become scholars just after listening to one excellence of acquiring Islamic knowledge. So if someone reads the excellences of acquiring Islamic knowledge, so he will get that zeal and enthusiasm to learn. The third thing is, the person who wanna get that zeal, he should read the biographies of scholars, in which the interest and the zeal of those scholars have been written, because that is very effective. Because we are human being, and those scholars are also human being, so we get inspired by those people who have become prominent and who have got excellence and status and standard in this life. So when we read the stories of those people, so we get that courage, and we get a passion in our heart, and we feel that some changing is happening in our heart regarding learning knowledge. So reading the biographies of scholars is very important. The fourth thing I would say, and that is the logical thing, the people should start reading books from small books and from small matters. They should give short time for reading books. Otherwise, if in beginning they give, for example, 2 or 3 hours in reading, so after a few days they will lose their courage and their motivation. So that's why in beginning they should, if a person can give only 20 minutes in beginning, he should give that time to reading. After one week he should increase 10 minutes more. Then after 1 week, he should increase 5 minutes more. In that way, he can increase his habit of studying till 1 hour, till 1.5 hour, till 2 hours. In that way, he can become habitual of reading and he can get that zeal and passion. And he should start reading from small books. That is another very beneficial advice, because when we start reading, for example, very big book as Ihya'ul Ulum, so when in beginning we start a heavy book and big book, so we lose our courage very, very soon. But if we read small books, booklets, so within 2 days we will complete, we will finish that book, and we will have some feeling in our heart that Alhamdulillah, I have completed one book, I have finished one book, I have read one book. And that is a psychological matter, that is very natural thing, because when we complete one project, so we feel some satisfaction and we feel some more motivation for other things. But when we start very big book, so because that doesn't complete very soon and in few days, so then we lose our heart and we lose our courage in that. So that's why for beginners, I would suggest they should read small books, they should read booklets. As Alhamdulillah, in the environment of Dawat Islami, hundreds of books have been published. Some are mashallah very book, they are consisting of many volumes, as Ihya'ul Ulum, as some other books. But there are many booklets as well, 100 booklets as well, as the booklets of Amir al-Sunnah, as the booklets of the scholars of Al-Madinat al-Ilmiya. So mashallah, their booklets are full of knowledge. If someone makes his habit to study those booklets, so inshallah, through that he can develop his habit to study books. So in that way, mashallah, the time will come when he will get zeal for reading big books as well. So I think that would be the sequence and order of reading books. Otherwise, it might be difficult for getting that zeal.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madani Channel, slow and steady wins the race. Start slowly, but go steadily. And inshallah, Zawajal, when you are reading on regular basis, and you start from small booklets, and then gradually you go to other thick and big books, so inshallah, Zawajal, you will be able to retain your enthusiasm, and then you will also be able to gradually make progress and advancement in your reading. Inshallah, Zawajal, we will come again with another episode of this beautiful silsila. Until then, I request you, please make dua for us. May Almighty Allah Azzawajal make us practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold.